And we are back. Black and a Half, episode one, number 196.
196?
What was that voice?
196?
What? Oh my gosh, is that Samantha Run?
196.
Oh, 196. Yes, it's me.
Back
hello.
From assignment, Samantha Run.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Black so and much. A Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. I've missed you.
I've missed you
too.
It's
been so hard.
It's hurt really like strange.
it's an Office quote. Quoting a lot of Office, as I do in this episode. I've been doing, you know, I did some reviews for a while online just on my own. I didn't like it. Got tired of it. Got tired of just talking to myself. So I just started writing reviews. So now on the Black and a Half website, people can go and read the reviews that I'm writing. I'm more than happy to, if I see a film with someone, to go and talk with them about it. What I discovered is I don't like reviewing films by myself. I do like talking about films with somebody.
Yeah.
Like that is a passion and a love. Just talking about a film together, even reviewing it sort of together. But
yeah.
I do not enjoy just talking into the mic by myself that much.
Yeah.
Unless I'm trying to teach something, I guess, and I'm more like the teacher, but that's not. But
that
so
makes
I'm just
sense,
I'm
though.
Just writing them. It takes a lot of work too to do a podcast, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of ish. I thought it would be quicker than writing it, but
yeah.
You end up having to write so many notes for it to remember when you're talking. I'm like, might as well just write it out and put it out there, and then maybe I'm going to be quoted easier or whatever. So there's sale. Yeah. So go check out the reviews I've been leaving there. So it's not just the podcast. Go to blackandahalf.com. I try to do spoiler-free reviews, at least major ones. If you've seen the trailer, you're probably going to know it. Got Finding Turning Red is out there. It opens up Friday on Disney Plus. Interesting note, Samantha. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's one of the first Pixar films to take place in Canada.
Oh.
The main focus is a woman or is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's 13. And changes are starting to happen to her.
Oh, okay.
Because
yeah.
When she gets too excited, she turns into a panda.
That is not what I thought.
A red panda.
Oh, okay. So it is what I thought.
It's a metaphor.
That's
might
wonderful.
Be a metaphor.
Yeah.
But you know what? They do actually show, because the mom, when she finds out that she's having a chance, something's happened to her, she's like, things of the age, and goes there. And I think it is the first showing of animated like maxi pads, like boxes.
Okay, I was thinking maybe she brought her, you know, a stack of chocolate, some long sweaters.
She starts pulling them out, you know, like, just... and there's a boxes of pads. And I'm like, I turned to Gretchen, I was like, have you ever seen that on a Disney Pixar thing? She's like, no. I was like, this is kind of amazing.
I don't know. I say we rewatch every animated show.
No, Snow White has
them,
some right
like
there.
Easter eggs.
It's I think it is I mentioned my review. I think it is I don't think it is gonna be the most memorable for people,
yeah.
Like lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's one of the most important. I think there's a lot of aspects of it that makes it one of the most important Pixar films for people to watch.
Right. Yeah.
I'm checking that out. And other things as I'm seeing, I got new films coming out. I'm going to screenings. Some are uncomfortable. Some are good. Anyway, so check out Black and a Half if you want to, blackandahalf.com, if you want to read some movie reviews and help us out. Also, big shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you want to become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners for just $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf you could even become an Inner Circle member like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. They support the show for just a little bit more than that. And you could too. Or, you know, go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. And of course, you can also listen to one of my other podcast, Your Mind, I almost forgot the name of it. You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. It's where me, Silas Lindenstein, who was a daytime real estate agent, helps people, teaches you how to buy a home, the step-by-step process. So anywhere you live, you can listen to that podcast. Or, of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I can help you out. Samantha doesn't have any, you don't have any new episodes out.
But the episodes that are there.
You can go back and listen to Samantha's podcast.
That's right. Beyond Technique. Yeah. Yep.
With Samantha Rund.
You can listen to it where you listen to your podcast, or you can listen to it on YouTube. And I'm not sure when I'll revamp that, but there's some good.
But they're evergreen episodes.
They are. And yeah, there's some really great guests.
Related. So,
you know. Yeah. Some good stuff.
Listen to them anytime.
And then, anytime. You know, if you're looking for a coach for performance techniques, acting.
Oh, you back in the biz? Stuff. You back public in the speaking. Biz?
Yeah, there? I'm not taking very many people right now just because the special of scheduling. Ones. Well, you know, just kind of have like to fit it listeners. In. But yeah, I've gotten back in the saddle, so to speak, with it. Help people like polish up for some auditions coming up, and actually help somebody with a vocal projection because they were, you know, their voice was getting kind of hoarse, like speaking through the mask and, you know, public speaking and things like that. So
that's good.
And actually, yeah, oh my goodness. It was really fun too. But actually just throwing it out there, I have something that's in the works for new moms.
Oh,
that I'm working on. So if you are a new mom looking for performance type things, you can also reach out to me with questions or keep an ear out for that. Mm. Yeah.
Did you see Tick, Tick, Boom?
I didn't.
So this is one of my things as a movie reviewer. They send us stuff. So this is a Tick, Tick, Boom swag sweater that I'm wearing, a sweatshirt. Tick, Boom.
Nice.
I was just noticing it and going like, oh, I wonder if she saw the film yet. As we're talking performance
I
and
did,
stuff. It's
I didn't see it yet.
One of my favorite films of 2021.
Where do I watch it?
Netflix.
Okay.
You know the story, right?
Oh, wait a second. I think so. She's like 40-something, right?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of this other one.
Are you thinking of the 40-year-old rapper?
Probably. I haven't.
No,
I
Tick, Tick, Boom is a Jonathan Larson story. Like the,
you know, Silas, normally, oh, sweet. Normally, I watch so many things. That's how out of the loop I am.
It was a Broadway show. Well, so it's theater, right? So it was this Broadway show adapted by Manuel.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I definitely need to watch that. But yeah, again, just viewing hours are down.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, well, the baby's up at 1 tonight. You can watch it while they're playing.
And I've been watching, like, you know, we do talk about The Office, but I've been rewatching Jane the Virgin because there's something that's just, like, comforting about it.
Comfort TV.
It is. You
less
know, it's
calories.
Just kinda nice to,
less calories.
Yeah.
Than the chicken that I eat.
Than the chicken leg that comes up later
food.
In the conversation. Yeah.
The comfort. Instead of comfort food, I save 500 calories and watch some comfort television.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, folks, those are our other podcasts, but this is this one. So, right now, I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 196. Welcome back.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Join us. Impressive.
weird blue light special going on.
You sound nice.
Do I?
Yeah. Oh. Salt sultry.
Oh, that's good. That's
well, welcome quiet, to
baby sleeping voice.
Nightly. We're here for Samantha Run with your nightly hits here at 106.7.
Yes.
We're going to listen to a little Marvin Gaye. Next up, letters from callers.
You know, it sounds about right.
Misconnections. Yeah. It's awesome to see you.
It's so good to see you too.
Welcome here.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Da, 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 da. You didn't blow, but your hair's not blue.
No,
that's just the thing.
We have a different camera thing going on, and it's just doing a.
But it made me think, like, hey, blue wouldn't be weird. So bad on you.
You know, it could be pretty cool. I had a blue wig. I did used it for like two things.
For what?
One was one was a comedy show.
Okay.
And
are you a prop
I don't
comic?
Know why.
Were you a prop comic? In another life?
No, but maybe I should be.
I'm a prop. I'm just a prop. It's been a minute. You've been on assignment. That's what I say every episode. I say Samantha's on assignment.
That's very kind.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. But you're feeling good right now.
Oh my goodness.
At this moment.
Yeah, actually, Silas, I was like, man, I'm having an uptake in anxiety. What is going on? It's very like right before our podcast, I started to get like flooded with a bit of like, I'm like, what? Oh, and then I was like, okay.
Did I do this before? Do it. I know how to do this?
No, it's the stupid like... Hello, listeners. It's the stupid freaking PTSD crap that like I'm still moving through. So I've had to slow down my regular activities and it's the weird thing about, as they say, healing isn't linear. Mm-hmm. It's weird because I'll be feeling like super fine. Like on Sunday, Saturday, I did a bunch of errands and I felt so amazing. And it felt more like normal. Like, you know how I normally do a million things.
Uh-huh.
And I felt really good. And Sunday I woke up and it was like I had a you did too much hangover.
Yeah.
It was like no alcohol, but just like my nervous system was like, we're freaking out. Like, no, you got to take it slow again. So it's just weird.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, just being away from, I'm not even suffering. I mean, I just have the whatever post-COVID anxiety.
Right.
It's not over. Kind of thing. We're going to things, even though it's not over. I was getting filled with that and then maybe exhausted the next day. And that's not without, and that's without suffering any actual trauma, like you, event or big event like you.
Yeah,
have.
But it is still like I think everybody has been somewhat traumatized from the pandemic.
Yeah, we definitely
so it's like,
are
yeah,
mildly,
just a different
but
layer of.
Yeah, you have
yeah
extra things that mm-hmm. of life.
Yeah,
happening.
You know, just overachieving.
Yeah, you could just have the normal amount of PTSD that we all have. You had to get the extra, sign up for extra. I'm like, yeah, I painted my house. That was so much anxiety. You birthed another human being.
I gotta come see
being.
It sometime. See the new shades.
Shade has it not
of color?
You didn't see it.
I don't know. Have I seen it since it's been painted?
Know. You know, you might not have because I guess you would have been here in 2020. It would have been, you would have. You would have. Because it would have been August, right? When we did the, because they did that late. The 48-hour was late that year, and I did that. We painted in 2020, so I think I did. Unless we painted last year. I'll have to find out. I don't remember anything anymore.
Yeah, I think the last time I was there, it was during the filming.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because I remember I kept joking that I was going to have make that part of the... Yeah, that was it. Because I was going to make that part of the thing. What if we just have people painting as part of the 48? That just takes care of the twofer.
Totally.
So, yeah, I don't have any. I need some yard work done. I can do that this year. You know what I got to do? I got to be a judge for Filmapalooza, like the biggie one. I got to be a judge for, was like best editing, best graphics, and maybe it was like visual effects or something. So it was me and a few, two other people, or four of us. No, two of us, really. And then going through with the people who run it and going through like what our picks were. And then we talked about until we all kind of mutually decided who the winner should be from discussing it. So it's not just straight vote.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to pick it out 1, 2, 3, right? So, well, who was the second best? Like, if we're all agreed on the first, what about the second? Like, okay. Or like, I'll give you that one, but I'm not going to give up this one. I'm saying this one's horrible. Not horrible. They're all really good. It's amazing, these other country filmmakers. They're just off the hook.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Let's see. I got to do that. You saw my Kraken commercial?
I did see the Kraken commercial. Yeah.
I got to do that since you've been gone.
We almost got to be in that commercial together.
I know. That
almost
would have been crazy. That would have been awesome. Well, yeah, we wouldn't have been together.
Well, that's true. And it looks like they split it up anyway.
They did. Yeah. They're in different places. I have not seen any other ones besides mine.
Actually, I think that's the same. I think I've only seen yours also.
People have mentioned. I'm not sure if maybe mine just went first, or maybe mine was the most popular one that people liked, and that's the one that they've been showing. So hopefully, let's keep it going for a year.
Yeah.
And let's renew that. Silas
That'd
wants
be awesome.
Renewal money. Residuals.
Right?
But yeah, and then I got to vote in this the Seattle Film Critics Society for the first time. Samantha, I think I'm a different person. Like, I definitely am a different person than when I did like theater, like out of college. The type of movies I like.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm just way less pretentious or way less, or I just like simpler things.
Yeah.
But like some of these movies, oh my God, they are slow. They are slow. And they're like, you know what? It's technically well made. And yo, it's so good. It's so
well done.
Were
you watching a lot of slower movies right out of theater school?
I think if I watched a movie, I'd be like, oh, look at this. Ooh, drama.
Mm. Right.
Oh, it's life changing.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, blow shit up. I just want you to blow shit up.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, did you see Power of the Dog?
I have not seen so much.
It's on
Netflix. My viewing has gone way down.
Yeah. Look, this is okay. I think that's a great example of like everything is beautiful in it. It's done so well. The acting's amazing. Oh my God. It is so boring. It is so boring. And is this Drive My Car has won the best movie in like almost every critics society for last year. It's a Japanese film.
Uh-huh.
It's 3 hours long. It's about him making this guy making a production of Chekhov's, one of Chekhov's plays, Uncle Vanya.
Okay.
Oh my, it's so boring. It is so boring. There's like 30 minutes. There's 30 to 45 minutes of action. Action of story before the credits roll. The opening credits.
Yeah.
Then the opening credits, you're like, what? Where are we? I watch foreign films occasionally.
Yeah.
This was beyond my, this is so long to be reading a movie, to be reading a movie. That's a long time. And I just, I don't get it. I don't get why everyone was so crazy for this film. Parasite, I understood. Parasite was amazing.
I haven't seen it still.
Yeah. Well, that, I get why that one did. This right. one, the title kind of fits. Drive. It's what? About driving a car.
Driving a car? That's what it's called?
This guy's, yes, chauffeur's driving this guy's car.
Wait, the title is called Driving a Car?
Drive My Car.
Oh, Drive My Car.
Yeah. I'm baffled by it. I don't understand why people love this more than other things. And I was thinking about it as I was picking out my favorite 10 movies of last year and going like, you know what, Spider-Man, I never like it. We don't vote for something like Spider-Man as best. But I'll tell you, of all the movies on my top, the top 10 there, it's probably the one that I'll watch the most. But we disregard them for like as being a Oscar worthy, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's like, what is the food somebody eats the most? And would they say that it was the best
right.
food that they should be eating or that like has the most nutritional content?
Like if someone asks you what's your favorite food.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something you eat every day? I'm guessing not, right? Like your favorite.
No, I mean, I don't even know what my favorite food is. I have a few things that I like love, but picking just one love, is really hard.
The ones you love, do you eat every day?
No, there's too many.
Like, do you eat breakfast? Not everyone's a breakfast person.
I eat breakfast.
Like, is it usually like a cereal or a yogurt kind of thing? Like, what's it closer to?
I'm generally not a big breakfast person. Like, it'll be like, lately it's just been like a cup of yogurt or it's been the Organ protein like powder that you put in the blender, like the one of those shaker cups.
Oh, okay.
With some like almond milk. So like, I'll just have like pretty basic breakfasts.
Is that because of lactose intolerance or are you just Pacific
Northwest? Oh, I like almond milk. I just never grew up drinking
almond
like very much regular milk.
You're from Montana.
Yeah, yeah, but
that's all like steak and milk, right? I thought that was all.
Oh yeah, but my mom just didn't have us like drinking like lots of milk. Just I don't know. I'm not
like if you went to school, I imagine that's just what they fed you: steak, milk, and potatoes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like right off, fresh off
five
the cow.
Five days a week.
Man, my eating habits actually in high school were interesting.
English class, then butcher the cow, then.
Mm-hmm. Then well, there was that one story of the cow that escaped and it swam across the river to freedom. I always loved that cow.
Aquas. Went aquas.
We're gathered here together to. Delight in the cow that escaped
across the river. No, like that's when you cross water, it's aquas. one thing. Were you an Office fan?
Wait, Office?
Yeah.
Yes. Also, because I remember you were telling me there were some of the super fan episodes. I have to watch them. Yeah, I've watched that.
I don't know if they're only available on the
Peacock. I've watched it so many times, like beginning to end.
Yeah,
the series.
I don't know if they are Peacock. Like if you have to have the membership level or not, I don't know. Cause I do. So I pay for everything. The super fan episodes are like double the size, right? Like, so they're all the deleted scenes, I believe, put back into it. And I watched all of those 4 seasons worth. So some of these 22 minute episodes, you know, originally I'm watching like 44 minute episodes now because of just outtakes. I've also started listening to the Office Ladies podcast. Have you heard of that?
No.
So Jenna Fisher, who played Pam, and Angela, who played Angela, they became best friends on the show, right? Best friends in real life. And so now they host a podcast, like a replay podcast or a rewatch podcast. So they're going through each episode and giving inside info about the shooting of it. And sometimes it's interviewing the writers, whoever it was, of it, and giving us like the inside scoop about each episode. And it's fascinating. And I think it's become my calming thing. Is to watch.
That's nice. Yeah, I'm like, I want to check that out right now.
Well, I think watching The Office episodes has become my like calm down, Silas.
Oh yeah, that's one of the reasons why I've watched it so much. It's kind of like comfort food to me.
Yeah,
like,
and I've learned to not feel guilty about it, even though because there's other things I need to be watching, but I'm not feeling guilty at all.
Good.
I'm like, no, I'm going to enjoy this Office episode again.
Mm-hmm.
And also discovering there was a series of episodes that I had completely missed. And there was like four or five that I had like, I have no idea about these episodes. Those were fun when I doing a rewatch of the whole series. And yeah, I almost threw another session of watching them. And now as I'm going through this Office Ladies podcast, I'm like going back sometimes when they mention something, I'm like, okay, I got to go see that scene, see what that was like.
Yeah.
It was such an interesting, I didn't realize how groundbreaking it was in the way they shot things and the way they did a lot of ground kind of breaking things. And it was nice to hear like the creators being a little bit, I was like, it was nice to hear they're a little like me as a director.
Totally looking it up now because I will not remember afterwards.
Some of them are like,
I'm gonna add it.
Like they're like, well, let's just see what happens. And they weren't so rigid on like shot by shot what's gonna happen. I was like, oh, I like that. You can be improvisational and
yes,
this have this freedom to create what they were like. They were just trying to, they wanted to make it good.
Well, here we go. Yay. And added. Yeah, it's awesome. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about using like some of my creative mindset to help me through this like new parenting journey of what you're saying. Like, you know, there's a certain element of like improvisation. Like, obviously you have to be prepared, but a certain amount of like, some of the good, like the best stuff can only come when it's improvised.
Yeah.
So just like having the space for that.
So apparently on The Office, the only people who were from a theater trained background were Jenna Fischer and Dwight.
Whatever. Oh, like theater? Because like Steve Carell did like improv for right. What,
the rest
20,
were,
20
the rest
years
were
or something.
Improvers. Yeah. They never... They weren't from a scholarly background of it all. They either just improv or the nuts and bolts of it all. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of interesting to hear too. You go, wow, huh? Always imagine there was only one path. Never really thought about doing improv being a route. Really?
Oh well, especially in LA. I mean. There's like improv is huge there. And improv is such a great tool.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
I mean, I guess it wasn't in my teacher's best interest to tell me that either. To go, you know, you don't need a degree. You could just go study improv. Leave college right now and go. Like it's not the only path.
Well, I mean, I think it depends what you want to do. Because like there's definitely not a single path as we both know.
Right.
But depending on what you want to do.
I think I was sort of like, I think I was a little led to believe that there was a little more of like, if I followed these steps, it would lead to work kind of.
I totally believed that. But also, I mean.
Do you feel like you were led that way? the idea that like, well, oh, I feel
things were a bit different because I mean, you know, it's not like I was growing up in LA.
Right.
You know, and then like, I actually remember that my teacher at Northwestern, I had said to her, like, I think I had mentioned something about, was it wanting to go do Shakespeare, like some Shakespearean theater. And she's amazing, like Shakespeare teacher, all like just phenomenal all across, like professor. And she was the head of some undergraduate program years later and blah, 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 whatever. Like she's, and she was just like, Samantha, don't do that. Go to Hollywood and make some money and then go do all the Shakespeare that you want. Like, I feel like throughout my theater training, I always had people who were like being real about the like, hey, but I think the thing is, how many times can I say the thing, is that a lot of the people that I looked up, like the actors that I was looking up to, they were classically trained theater actors.
Yeah.
And on top of it, I loved the art form. So there really wasn't like much that could have, I feel like we were in that weird middle area because it's before people could create their own content.
That's true.
It's that before true. There were all of these alternate routes. Like then it was more the route of like you train as a theater actor and then you can go do TV if you want to, or you can do theater, but like you have to train as a theater actor first. And now it's not like that.
That's true. You're totally right.
It's not like that. I mean, the tools are super useful and, going to get a lot of the same sorts of training, but in terms of like the fundamentals of acting, like those fundamentals are there. It doesn't really matter what medium you're doing.
Yeah. It's so weird to hear people talk about too. Like they were talking about, hey, this episode was shot in 2003 or 2005. And mentioning, you know, this is before social media, and going like, well, social media was there, but just wasn't anything close to what it is now. Right. Like going viral meant you were an email forward over and over, like millions of people emailed this, which is hard to track. Right. But it's just such a crazy time listening to a show that was on the cusp of right before social media broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget. Yeah, I forget things. I do forget that, you know, you could. Man, that we couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't just pick up something and we had our excuses of why we didn't shoot our own movie were actually valid back then.
Yeah, you couldn't. And I mean, and
now it is fully like, it's just time. It's a little more it just is. Time.
I mean. And also, though, it's like, what do people want to do? Like, I feel like I've had this conversation like a lot of times with my partner, and that of like, yeah, but why do people get into it? Like, are they getting into it because they want to just step into the role, or are they really trying to be like a producer, a director, a writer, like an editor? Are they trying to do everything, or are they just trying to like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll ask that. I'm interviewing somebody tomorrow for a film, Seattle filmmaker. I don't have their name out right now, but they have a new film coming out, and they were like the writer director started cool. it.
Awesome.
and I'm curious. Yeah, it is. There is a curiousness to it, like the. Or these these people who just want to create stuff, and they ended up, sometimes they direct or they write. What I love about The Office is how most of half the cast was not intended to be regulars. They're just writers that were put on the show to fill it out.
Yeah.
And with this idea of like, you should get to know what it's like to be an actor on a show.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you're going to be an actor on this. And that they created a whole wing in The Office so that the writers didn't have to be on set all the time. So that they had, that was the writers, so they could go off to the writers room and write the show. So they wouldn't have to be in group photo shots, just the ones that were, you know, when they had to be on. And also it's just interesting hearing like a new way that it's not new, but just that there was a different way that a TV show was shot mm-hmm. and then did, and how they just arranged it. And it made me, it's making me think like, man, you can really just do things the way you want.
Silas, let's make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it is ridiculous in that I think it's almost ridiculous on how you can do things the way you want now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all about the format that it ends up airing in. Like, I'm watching this show. I just was watching the show Station 11 on HBO Max. A film I have to go look. It was based off of a movie, but I'm wondering, I'm like, did you shoot this before 2020? Because this is too eerie. Because it Ooh. Like it's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. But it's a flu that mutated that there was no there was no incubation period. So people got it and you just boom, there it is, boom. As wow. soon as you got it, there was no incubation period, right? So, and I'm like, what? Because I'm like, they must, because they really didn't spend much time on the science of the flu, because I'm thinking like, I think you know everyone knows how a flu works now. So I want to go see when they shot this film, but I really enjoyed it. But one thing I was thinking about it was, you know, the story isn't really that. It's not even that it's super inventive, the actual story,
mm-hmm.
but the way they told it and intertwined past future in these 10 episodes, all to culminate in this feeling that you get at the end. If they had told a completely linear from beginning to end in a straight path, I don't think it would be that good, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
It changes on when it takes place. Each episode jumps around in time, and it's not really that confusing. It's not confusing if you're just paying attention to it, right? But I was just thinking about like, man, it's sometimes about how you tell a story, not even the story that's interesting. Yeah. Like we've talked about that, an idea of a, I don't want to give it away to people, but an idea of a.
It's
series
like
that takes place like, all, you only get this one like area for it. With these like, almost like a play.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from the, in the film has to, everything in the TV show has to happen on this stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, that was like that one movie, the one that wasn't it with Zendaya or Zendaya, however you say her name.
Oh yeah, Malcolm and Marie. Yeah,
wasn't that one?
It all took place in that one house.
In that one,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true. Oh, that was the interesting thing I never thought about The Office was that the director didn't want. They started in the middle. They didn't ever want to think about them starting at the beginning. So
that's cool.
They
yeah.
clearly had, they like, they knew Daryl was a character in this, but yeah. he wasn't on the first episode.
Yeah.
He wasn't. And his first appearance was like maybe a second or third episode. And he was just in the background for one thing. Oh. And then he started showing up because they wanted to act like they would mention someone's name, like Todd Packard. Would get mm-hmm. mentioned, but you didn't see him for the first season.
Yeah.
Until the second season, you didn't see him. And they didn't want to dumb down to the audience to have to feel like they have to explain anything. It's like, no, mm-hmm. we're in the middle of these people's lives. So
that's awesome.
We'll get to them like as we like, need to.
Not to cut you off, but I feel like that's also such an improv thing too. Do you know? Like when you're doing
yeah.
a scene,
yeah.
you're usually like, you usually don't do the scene of it's like, hi, I'm meeting you for the first time. Like normally there was something going
yeah.
on
yeah.
or a relationship already established.
Well, it's funny because I remember I did a reading for your partner and they made a comment that one of their mentors had said, oh, if you do a pilot episode, you have to introduce all the characters that are going to be in the show. And my thought was like, oh, is it 1982? Because I'm like, are you, I can show you dozens of shows that don't do that anymore. Like, you know, like it's a real, it's almost like there's no format anymore. Right. There is no like, oh, if you're going to do it, you got to do it this way. And there is the maps are gone. The playbooks are being rewritten.
Whew.
Like, where is it going to be? I guess if it's going to be on ABC, yeah, you probably have to, without a whole bunch of credits, you have to follow this roadmap the way everyone else has done it. But if you're going to HBO, shit don't matter, right? If it's going to be on one of these streaming services, shit don't matter. If it's interesting, we'll do it. We will
on
do
the station,
it.
The shit don't matter episode.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, okay. Oh, so that's what I was saying. Like, if it's on HBO Max, the rules are out. As long as the story is going to be interesting, you can do whatever. They'll look at all 10 episodes and what's the story tell you, right? Instead of just like, okay, here's the pilot. We'll greenlight you for 2 more episodes and see if you can get 2 more.
I can't help it, but I was not going to interrupt you a long time ago. And then when you brought up HBO Max again, what I had to say when you were talking about what you got to see and that, or got to sit at the Film Palooza, or
yeah,
did it, I thought you were going to say Batman. I was so jealous that you got to see it early. I'm happy you got to see it early, but that,
well, I did see it early, but
I haven't. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I was like, oh man, lucky Silas, you know, but I'm happy for you too, you know, but I was like, I would go to the theaters for that. And now but I think I'm just going to have to wait till it comes on to HBO Max. Since you mentioned it,
Mid-April.
Really,
yeah,
I know. I want to see it. Looking forward
it'll
to it.
It'll be the same film. It's
I don't
okay.
want spoilers.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was concerned about. I was like, no spoil, like avoiding spoilers. So
I've been good about that. I mean, I think the only spoiler it's hard to avoid is feelings about it, whether people like it or
exactly.
not.
Yeah. So yeah. I saw your feelings about it. And so I was like, okay, that just makes me more excited to see it. But now I have to forget your feelings about it so that I can just like lower my expectations to enjoy it.
But here's the thing. Okay. But here's the thing. I loved Don't Look Up.
I didn't see
every
it.
Almost every film critic hated it. Right. So in some ways, like, unless you tend to really agree with somebody about movies or TV shows.
Oh boy. Actually, now I'm a little bit less excited. Good point. But no, I think it got something good on like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff too. It wasn't just you.
This is one of those films that everybody is enjoying, right?
See,
critics and audience, right?
Yeah.
But no, but what I'm saying is, unless you match up with me on like pretty much everything we watch,
right?
My reaction to it may not be like, you can almost assume like it's going to be different.
True. Yeah. And we don't always agree on movies.
Right. You can't be right about everything.
Thank you. I just like that you were tipping it in my direction. I will take it.
I guess I wasn't meaning to do that.
Well, no. I took it.
I meant it. You can't be right about everything.
I'm hearing you are right about everything. What? It's just cut out for just a moment. Thank you.
Zoom.
I'm only human though.
Zoom is crazy. Yeah, that was cool to see. I wish I did get to see it in the theater though. With people.
Right.
Cause I was curious. Like, here's the hard part about writing a review about a big movie.
Yeah.
That was, you know, this wasn't a sequel. It's not a sequel. So it is like, you know, they're like a batter up to bat. Like, is this going to resonate with people the way we do this? This is a swing and a miss. This could be a swing and a miss or a home run. We don't know. And when I'm writing the review and I feel like I'm putting it out there on my feelings about it, right? And I'm trying not to spoil anything, but going, this is what I think about this. Publish. So I've said if I think this is good or not.
Yeah.
I've got 4 days here. And either I'm eating shit or like people are going to respect my opinion or hate my opinion now. Like, right. Like that's whoa, that was the first time I've written a review and felt a little nervous about it. It was so far ahead of time that I've like, that I'm like, well, this is what I think. And boom, strong feelings. People don't agree with me. They're going to be like, whatever, Silas, not listening to him anymore.
Yeah. They're going to be like, save your Nutella and your butter knife mattress money. Okay. That probably sounds super weird for anybody who didn't read your Facebook post.
Random. You know, I tend to do some Facebook posts, folks. So, you know, like, you know, if I rant about something, if you ever see numbers on things, you probably know it's a joke, because the third one is going to be the swerve on it. The first two might be serious, but some people commented on something I had posted and was like going for a joke, but everyone just read the first two and got all serious on it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. It was financials. So I was like, yeah, I mean, it's good, but I was joking. You didn't read the last one. I was hoping for a little heart. I was hoping for a ha-ha emoji. I don't even like the heart one there. I was looking for the laugh, not the heart.
Ha-ha. Right. It was a like, ha-ha.
Like, oh, there's some good, sensible advice, Silas. You didn't read number three. Come on. Come on, people. What is the biggest thing you've done now since I saw you last, whatever? Like, I mean, have you done any big events? Have you gone to a Kraken game? Have you?
No. Like, you mean like been around like more, like a lot of people?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean in terms of big? The most people that I was around outside of like grocery shopping, just like, was actually like parenting, like two different parenting groups, but they've been both outside.
Okay. Yeah.
Chili. So I haven't,
Chili.
Yeah. 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 I've gotten pretty good at bundling up and doing the walks and stuff. But, I haven't done any, I almost got to see a show, which I was really excited about, but it's just schedule wise, it didn't work out. So no, I have not.
Okay, because I have gone to a couple things, but I'm a little nervous about this lifting of the masks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to trust the science.
Well, it's hard because, I mean, it's hard. I think it would be hard to not be uncomfortable because for what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Has it been 2 years of wearing masks all the time? And I know you're extra careful for your family too.
Yeah.
So, I'm also like, I don't know. I'm a little nervous, but I'm also kind of like, oh good. This must mean I can go outside more again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think that. And there's also part of me that's like, okay, let me see how things go for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, I want to see everybody.
Go. I think that I will most likely I will still go to the store with my mask on until it's been like 2 weeks or something of other people having their masks off. Probably.
I was really hoping they'd have the vaccine for the little ones before I went. Before they did this, I was hoping that would happen, but since it hasn't, the under five vaccine has not been working out that well. So.
Like it hasn't been working well, or just, you mean it hasn't gone through? Because I have not been watching the news as much as I was before.
It hasn't. Well, it's not that it's gone bad. It's not hurting them. It's just not sticking around. Like they're like, well, maybe we need three shots. It's just not producing the antibodies that they were hoping, because the body's just kind of kicking it a bit out, which is good
because
the body seems to react for the under five. The body seems to be reacting really. It fights COVID off pretty well on its own. But we kind of was hoping for that little booster of. A little booster to help the COVID there. Cause it's hard to know, man. There's going to be studies forever on it all. Like I just read one the other day. So apparently, now I'm going to go into this. This is depressing, but
Oh, anyway. Yeah. I remember. I did see that post of yours.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be interesting because we're going to live through a time of people studying this, right? And seeing what effects it had on it and going like, well, what we did in 2020 to 2022 was good or bad. We'll see. It's up in the air. Who knows? We're inside for 2 years with masks on and then Putin attacked Ukraine and everything went to hell anyway. So
then basically in 2050, what we can do is we can do our own rendition, kind of like The Office, where we can talk about a play-by-play when you watch the news and we'll talk about what was going on.
That would be funny, replaying replay the year, right? Start at 2020. Yeah. You go January 1st, 2020. Okay, I remember this day. Do you remember this day? It was funny. Yep. Oh
this
my
is
God,
the day we ran out to get toilet paper. Like,
I just go through my Facebook feed. I'm like, he had no idea. He was in 30 days, everything would be different.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I my just Facebook saw, like, feed has been. My memories are like hilarious almost. We're almost in lockdown. Yeah.
Oh. This is not the same about, it's not about the pandemic or anything. It's just about another like Facebook memory popping up and being like reminding you of something that is seemingly hilarious. I shared one from 5 years ago that said, I think it said something like, I was doing yoga in the morning so that I could better pretend to be Axl Rose at night. And that's a true story. And I just really liked it that at one point that was my life. I just saw it and I just like smiled and I was like, oh, young Samantha, that was fun.
Young,
she wasn't doing yoga for her back or for strength or for meditation or for like Zen. She was doing it to just pretend to be Axl Rose. It was like a lip sync competition. That's my daughter.
Oh. Not a cat.
So daddy's gotta get her.
Meow. And I was meow. And I was like,
definitely my
cat.
Daughter.
I didn't remember
definitely.
He had
Fun
a cat.
Fact, when I was a kid, I cried like a cat as well.
Did you?
So we have similar cries, apparently. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How old is she? She's like almost a year, right? 9 months?
9 months.
I mean, she's a little older than the cute cries, but like, I do love a cry of a nice, like, 2 month old. Where they're like, burr, burr, burr. Like, they don't know how to cry yet.
Yeah.
They don't got the fully developed lungs yet. So they're like,
these go so fast, how everybody says. Like, those first 3 months, you feel like you're never going to sleep ever, and it just is an eternity. But then, like, you blink, and she's like 9 months, and I'm like, oh. It's got little teeth and
We have a neighbor whose baby's like 2 months old. Let's bring it out on a walk today. Maybe 3 months old. And when people tell me they're 3 months old and then they start like talking about like they're tired, I have two reactions. Either I just start laughing really hard.
Wait, when they say, sorry, I was,
when
I
they
was
say
like
the baby's
listening,
like
but my
3 months old.
Uh-huh.
I start laughing. Because I'm both, oh my God, I know what you're going through. And I'm also so glad I'm done with that. Like, oh my God.
Oh, if they say that they're so tired.
Or they're so tired or anything. Just like when I know they have a 3 month old baby.
Yeah.
There's just things that you know about their last 3 months. Like, or the first week we had a baby, someone's baby, another neighbor. We have still a bunch of babies around here. One, it was like, day four, and he's like, well, we're just trying to, you know, trying to get a sleep thing going on. And I'm like, my child still won't sleep through the night. My 3 year old, I want a 4 year old. Sometimes I want, like, I want, okay, all of my children talk
Wait,
in their
has
sleep.
He
okay?
ever slept through the night? Or because you said he still won't sleep through the night.
He will occasionally sleep through the night.
So like what's the percentage?
I get
like,
woken up. I probably get woken up at least four nights a week.
Really? for the whole time he's been alive, pretty much.
The whole time.
And how long does he stay up?
Oh, he'll go right back to bed.
Oh, he goes right back to bed.
Sometimes he goes and pees, and that's it. Sometimes we don't know what it is.
He goes right back to bed.
Sometimes it is nothing, Samantha, because he friggin' talks in his sleep loudly. Like, he cries in his sleep. Both of my children cry in their sleep. The other day, I had to get up anyway, so it wasn't that bad. Like, I had to go to the bathroom, and I turned the light on just in the bathroom, and then I heard him. I'm like, okay. And he goes, my turn. like he's dreaming about people not sharing. And I go in there and I like put it like, okay, buddy. And I put the blanket. But sometimes he cries because his blanket's not covering him.
Oh.
And he won't pull it up because he's an asshole. He needs to pull it up just himself. He can do that. He knows how to do that. He does that on his own. It's not like when he wasn't the age that he didn't know how, but he wants to wake my ass up to come in there and pull it up on him. And I say, no, you need to do this. And sometimes he goes, okay. Sometimes and then he'll sleep through the night. But then Willow cries. Willow's not even waking up. She just cries and wakes me up. And she's like going, no, stop. But she's saying the exact same things like when her brother's like poking her,
It's
like she's dreaming about being bothered by her brother and crying and waking me up. And I'm like, I just want to sleep. Just like, I want to sleep several nights in a row.
Yes. Yeah.
One day. I almost fall asleep during the day. Almost every single day.
Yeah. I'm still surprised you do so much stuff. Like, I am so... Tonight I was just like, I was falling asleep. I actually was like, I need a nap. I fell asleep. It was a good sleep. And then I was like, I can't cancel though. Silas and I are finally doing the podcast.
Finally.
So I was like so exhausted. But I'm like, nope, doing it. Last night she woke up. I think she had me up from 12 to 3. I don't know. And
it's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of times, she can sleep through the night too, but sometimes like she'll just wake up and.
Is that teeth?
Yeah. But also she's like, she's getting more mobile too. So I know that's part of the development process. A lot of a lot of times, like when they're getting like more mobile, then their biology and their brain gets busy and it keeps them up more. They wake up more and stuff like this. Oh. So it's like, I was like, okay. So if I try to soothe her and if she doesn't get back to bed, like within a certain amount of time, it's like, okay, well, let's go into the other room. You can go in your play area. I'm going to watch some TV. Like, I'm just like, it's just like, play and tire yourself out and then come sit with mommy and, just let it do its thing. It's fine.
It's 2 a.m. It's whatever.
Yeah.
I'd be cussing out the child in my head.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, since I'm not working during the day, I'm not, if I had to wake up in the morning and go to work right now, I would not be as chill about it.
That's true.
So it's just, I'm just kind of like, she's not going to be waking me up for like her whole life.
Okay. So
at some point, she won't be like, doing that.
I'm going to put this in my book, okay? I have this idea for a book. It's called No Nonsense Parenting. It's about things that I do not do because it's nonsense. And some people tell me something. I go, no, my children, I don't do that. That's nonsense. And that's all it's going to be. Like, what, like...
That's funny.
Do I give my
children... That makes me think of the Liz Lemon. It's a deal breaker.
What's the...
Baby-led weaning.
Weaning? No, not weaning, but like
it's not the food
eating, baby led eating, right?
Well,
it's not weaning. It's not a weaning away from the breast, but the
Well, they would
like you let them eat like cake, or whatever, because they like, oh, I want some.
Yeah, well, because they do talk about, I think it's baby-led weaning, where they're talking about like how they're starting to eat solid food. So if they're looking like they want something off your plate.
Like where you let them eat a chicken bone, like a chicken from
Yeah,
chicken. So I'd be like, no, that's
chicken,
nonsense.
But not cake.
I don't do that. Like, no, I don't do that. That's nonsense. Or like my daughter wants to leave without a coat on.
Well, that's, I mean.
I tell her that is nonsense and she's putting a coat on. We don't leave the house. I'm not, no. And I'm like, I do not put up with, it is December. We are walking. You are putting a coat on. I'm not arguing about this.
Yeah.
Where my neighbor.
Wait, people let their kids go outside without a coat so they can catch a cold?
There are folks, usually of the Caucasian persuasion, who like to discuss and reason with their children. And so that they feel the children will learn a lesson.
And well,
I say that is nonsense. I will not let you do nonsense. So you will put a coat on. I'm not arguing this. I'm not discuss. There's things I do not have to discuss with you. And that is one of them. Put your coat on.
Yeah, but like the first time, though, you probably would have discussed it with her, right?
No.
Are you serious?
That's nonsense. Put on your coat. It's cold out.
Okay, that's your book.
It is cold out. You put a coat on. I've told you it's cold. But done. We're done. Put the coat on. So they put it on. We go outside.
Yeah.
And now when she comes off the bus and it's unzipped. And I go, oh, your coat's broken. I zip it up. Like, no nonsense. Do not have it open. I just got to figure out the format. I feel like it's a funny format. That's what I want to
do. Yeah, no, there is. There's definitely like, something there.
Nonsense. When your child does this, that's nonsense. I have no nonsense.
Right.
It's inspired by The Office, but.
It also makes me think of those no nonsense pantyhose. So.
Oh, pantyhose.
Yeah. That's right. So be sure to be in your business.
I will have no nonsense.
Suit with
Wait,
it.
What is the nonsense about pantyhose?
I don't know. I think they were no nonsense pantyhose.
Right. But I think they were called no nonsense because there was some stuff about pantyhose that was nonsense and they were getting rid of that. I forget.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't. Exactly. Maybe that.
Or something.
They didn't do that.
Yeah. We don't want any of that. Why would you want nonsense? No, who wants nonsense in their parenting? No, you want no nonsense. Straight, giving it to you straight, giving it.
It almost turned a little Seinfeld there for a moment.
I want to be an author. Like, that's why I
want
to be an
nonsense?
Author.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be an author, not an author, an author. And I want to, that could be my thing, my no nonsense parenting. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
See, I will have discussions, but I think, but you got to have like the boundaries too, but I will. I would do some reasoning, but at a certain point, yes, you have to.
I figure they're like discussions with my wife. I'm just explaining why I'm right. She's not
also
here.
Explaining she to me why you're in the garage right now.
She can't hear me. That's why I said that. Oh, I'm trapped. Please help me.
That was a really good way to let us know she never listens to the podcast.
It's true. It's funny because it's true. okay. Oh, are you a Wordle fan, by the way?
Yes. It took me a while to realize what was going on because I kept on seeing them pop up on Facebook and I was like, huh? Eventually I'm like, what is this Tetris looking thing that people keep posting? And then I found it. I was posting mine for a while and then I was like, this is obnoxious. Let me stop posting my victory.
You know what? I just realized I didn't do it today.
Because
I got on a late schedule. And so that means I haven't done my Quirtle or my Hurdle or my Word or World. So there's a geography one where you guess
the
shape of a country and you have to guess which one it is.
Yeah, that one.
And then there's a music one called Hurdle. It's almost like Name That Tune.
Oh, I would not be good at that.
On the first one I did, I got on the second one and I was so impressed. The next five, I could not, had no clue. And one was Kanye West. And I was like, what the? I was like, that's nonsense.
Oh my gosh, that music video with him and Pete Davidson, or I guess it's not with him, it's Pete Davidson, and I didn't watch it. Sounds scary.
What?
Yeah. Did you see there's like some music video he did with like him like killing, pretending to kill Pete Davidson or something?
No, like I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch it. I just heard about it.
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah. And then I had nightmares.
I had a weird stress. I had some stress dream the other day. What was it? I forget. It's good that I forgot, I guess.
Yeah, that is like. Yeah, the Wordle, that's something that's been going well in life. Thankfully, hopefully it stays that way.
Wordle to the mother.
I've gotten all the ones I've played so far. So I stopped posting because I'm like, this is going to be annoying. That's the only thing on my feed is just all my Wordle wins. That's it.
That is funny. That is the only thing. But I'm happy for people. I'm glad they can. There are people who will never be happy with you on Facebook, whether they don't like that you're posting pictures of their food, or they don't want you posting politics, so then you do Wordle, they still get mad, right? I'm like, you guys just don't like people posting, is what the thing is. Like, what? How do you get mad at people for posting their political views? No, they'd probably be happy to see
you posting, like, you curled up in a corner crying, and then they like...
People like Wordle's like the most non-offensive post you can make,
unless if they didn't get it and then they're continually reminded how they like flunked out of school because they couldn't remember a six letter word,
spell
a five letter word, puzzles.
Everyone's celebrating word puzzles. I am triggered.
Could and be. I'm
disappointed.
You never know.
In America. Okay.
It's sounds like a Weekend Update character to me right there.
We're like an hour in, I think. We got to go. It's been so nice talking to you again.
Yeah, it's so nice.
And, you know, I've been gathering topics of things to talk about, and we can start hopefully hitting those hard, having experts on. I've got, you know, and then some of these interviews that I'm getting during the day. Oh, I do have a good catch that have you seen previews for the movie Alice?
No.
Check out the trailer.
In Wonderland? Alice.
No, no.
Oh.
No. Oh. Ooh. But. Check out the preview. I have an interview scheduled with the director. 15-minute interview. It's cool. Her first film. This film's hit Sundance pretty hard.
Wow.
So she made me big coming up. So I'm very excited for that interview. Yeah. And blending those interviews with our show.
That's awesome.
Ooh, it'll be so fun. But yeah, hey, but folks, thanks for listening, and welcome Samantha back online.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to be back. Okay. Black and a half.
Black and a half. Join us. We have fuzzball. Live long and prosper.